Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Friday, November 30th, 2018. Looks like we've had a little morning fog, and the temperature today, the high will be about 41 and the low 36. Well, we have several things on the agenda. We have the ISU Women Win, the Redbirds Turn Back Oakland, and that's in the sports section. We have petitions challenged. City residents in say that the fields left blank on Ward 4 form, so we'll have to kind of look into that. But on the top stories today, what is interesting here in Bloomington Normal is the tobacco issue. Tobacco 21 movement not up in smoke locally. Normal's age to buy increases Saturday. Businesses concerned. 18 to 21 year olds can continue to buy tobacco products in most of Illinois for now, after the Illinois House of Representatives failed to override the governor's veto of Tobacco 21 legislation late Wednesday. But it's just a matter of time before legislators prevent people under 21 from buying tobacco products, agreed some Bloomington Normal observers of the Tobacco 21 movement. It's inevitable, said Scott Walk, a manager with Zach Magan of Smoker's Choice, 1212 Towanda Avenue, Bloomington, which includes the Choice Vape Shop. It's eventually going to happen at the federal level, Walk said. Our clientele is older, so I don't think it will affect us as heavily. State legislation is expected to be reintroduced next year to a more favorable reception from the incoming Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. Meanwhile, Tobacco 21 proponents are working to get city councils to pass regulations raising the minimum age to buy tobacco products in communities from 18 to 21. Products include cigarettes, cigars, chewing tobacco, and nicotine-containing e-cigarettes and vaping materials. The Normal City Council unanimously approved such an ordinance on November 19th. It takes effect Saturday. Bloomington City Council licensed to 21 tobacco listened to 21 tobacco proponents on Monday night, but there is no date for the council to consider the matter, said City of Bloomington Communications Manager Nora Duckowitz. Behind the Tobacco 21 effort in McLean County are 25 Illinois State University Health Promotions students who got involved last semester when doing class research, and their efforts are not affiliated with ISU, said two of these students, Patty Fountain, 24, and Taylor Lehman, 21, both seniors. Tobacco is the only product that, if used correctly, exactly is directed to kill you, Lehman said. When they surveyed McLean County residents, 57% of the 1,372 respondents agreed that the minimum age to buy tobacco should be raised to 21. With that support and the information from the McLean County Health Department, the students approached both city councils. We hope that no one smokes because of all the consequences, including diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and hypertension, said Department Administrator Camille Rodriguez. And said students were elated by the Normal City Council approval. Asked about the Illinois House vote on Wednesday, Lehman said, "We understand this might not happen right away. Not everyone was elated." Javelin and Shelby Lawrence, co-owners of Smoker's Euphoria on Dale Street in Normal, said they wish Normal city officials would had sought feedback from businesses before making a decision. They passed a law, and of course they will comply, said Javelin Lawrence. We card period until we get to know the customers, or unless they're clearly older. This is a college town, Shelby Lawrence said. You basically are saying that our student population can't smoke, Javelin said. They'll go buy it online. It will impact our sales. You are hurting small business owners who hire people in town. It'll affect tax revenue, Shelby said. Shelby Lawrence, a Navy veteran, continued, you're telling 18, 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds you can defend your country in the military and vote to elect your future leaders, but you're not responsible enough to decide whether to vape or smoke? I strongly feel that if you're old enough to fight and die for your country, you should have the right to make a decision about your own health. State Representative Dan Brady, Republican of Bloomington, agreed, which is why he voted no on the override Wednesday. While I can appreciate the position of many people of the harmful impact of tobacco, the reality is you can vote and serve your country in the military at 18. Brady said, I know that the smoking and tobacco products are bad for you, but it's still people's choice. We're picking and choosing what you can be an adult for, said Walk. You can be an adult enough to serve in the military, but not adult enough to decide whether to use tobacco. But if it helps to curb underage use, I support it, because that's an issue, Walk said. If it stops more kids from using tobacco items, good enough, Megan said. I don't see it affecting us all that much. But Fountain and Taylor said arguments that people can serve in the military, get married, and buy a house don't hold up because those are not public health concerns. As to the long-term revenue argument, nationwide tobacco sales for 18 to 21-year-olds account for only 2% of the total tobacco sales, Fountain said. Your brain is developing through age 25, Lehman says, and it's easier to get addicted when you start younger. Dr. John Burr, pulmonologist at Advocate Bromine Medical Center in Normal, said his experience is that people who start smoking earlier are more likely to become addicted, even though they may have had heart bypass surgery and have severe lung disease. Burr said there's a subset of people for whom tobacco is highly addictive. I don't think everyone is created equal in their ability to quit. If raising the age means some people are less likely to have a lifetime of addiction, it's worth a try, Burr said. And in an inset here on page 2, a continuation of this article about smoking, it says, help is available. About 14% of McLean County adults are smokers, according to the 2017 County Health Rankings. And according to the 2018 Illinois Youth Survey, recently released by Project Oz, 16.7% of McLean County public junior high and high school students have used e-cigarettes in the previous 30 days, and 2.7% smoked cigarettes. Help with quitting is available from healthcare providers or by calling the Illinois Tobacco Hotline at 866-QUIT-YES. In other local news, a pastor is remembered for service and generosity. McSwain, who served Mount Pisgah since 1984, died Thursday. The Reverend Frank McSwain, Sr., a longtime pastor of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, who was involved in many community activities, died Thursday morning at his residence in Bloomington. McSwain, 64, had served Mount Pisgah since 1984 and had been involved in the Not in Our Town Anti-Racism Initiative, the Family and Community Resource Center, and other community projects. Bloomington Mayor Tari Renner said he will be remembered as an outstanding leader for social justice and social change in our community. This is a big loss for our community and a sad day. Willie Holton Halbert, a member of Mount Pisgah, who had known McSwain since 1988, described him as one of the most generous persons that I have ever known. McSwain would say the church is about service, Halbert said. And he, quote, lived that. Mike Majetka, government affairs director for the great Plains leaders, laborers, district council, and former aldermen worked with McSwain on Not in Our Town, voter registration drives, and apprenticeship opportunities. He said McSwain took the church to new heights and ensured that it was not a Sunday-only institution, but one that connected with and served the community. Reverend McSwain was firmly rooted in the community and not just the African-American community, said Majeka. He was never afraid to speak out about injustice. He always did so with a good spirit and with a smile. McLean County Public Defender Carla Barnes called McSwain an amazing figure who was always supportive of the downtrodden, and he will be greatly missed. Halbert said McSwain had a quiet spirit and people were always waiting to hear what he had to say. It was the way he said it, with so much compassion, it made you want to do better, said Halbert. Renner said McSwain's incredible oratorical skills were one of the reasons for his effectiveness as a leader. It was off the charts, and he had such great charisma, said Renner, who worked with McSwain on West Side Development, the Police Advisory Committee, and summer jobs and activities for at-risk youth. Halbert said he followed the path God had for him in life. He was a light that shines and will continue to shine through eternity. Founded in 1865, Mount Pisgah is Bloomington's oldest black church. It was located at Lee Street and Oakland Avenue in 1916 to 2004 and moved to a new building at Market and Allen Streets. Walker Funeral Service Decatur is handling the funeral arrangements. Here's something that affects us locally as well as nationally, and its leaders say deal sealed in principle. And this is about the GOP food stamp work requirements and the farm bill that has been presented. It says a deal on a new federal farm bill has been reached in principle. Members of Congress said Thursday afternoon the House Republicans dropped some proposed changes, including expansion of food stamp work requirements. We are working to finalize legal and report language as well as Congressional Budget Office scores, but we still have more work to do, said House Agricultural Committee Chairman Mike Conaway, Republican of Texas, and other members in a statement. Quote, we are committed to delivering a new farm bill to America as quickly as possible. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office is tasked with producing independent analysis of the budgetary impact of the legislation. The GOP concessions likely will help draw Democratic votes to the compromise bill in the House next week, even if they lose some conservative Republicans. Democrats indicated support would be more bipartisan and follow similar numbers on past farm bills, which tend to pass comfortably. The farm bill will reauthorize the nation's nearly $900 billion in food and agricultural programs for another 5 years. That includes the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. You may know this as SNAP. It was known formerly as food stamps, which helps low-income families pay for food. The bill deals with crop insurance, a program that protects farmers against financial losses due to disasters or drought. Illinois Farm Bureau President Richard Gubert, Jr. said he was encouraged by the news. Farmers need certainty in these challenging times, he said in a statement, adding the farm bill is an important piece of legislation on which farmers and consumers alike depend. They look forward to reviewing the bill's provisions and urge quick consideration. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis from Taylorville, who serves on a conference committee charged with working out the differences between the House and Senate version, previously said the deal was similar to the most recent farm bill that expired September 30th. It is a very good bill that will get a farm bill signed into law before the end of the year, said Davis. I'm continuing to work with my colleagues to finalize the details to ensure the priorities of Illinois farmers are included in the bill, in the final bill. Davis said he is disappointed that SNAP reforms and workforce training investments will not be included. The GOP wanted the work rules to expand to apply to able-bodied adults up to age 59 and to people with young dependent children. But there are a lot of good policies for our farmers included in this bill, and it's critical that we pass those for agriculture, Davis added. I will continue to work to help people out of poverty and fill the jobs that are open. Senator Pat Roberts from Kansas, the lead negotiator for the Senate, was vague about the specific provisions in the compromise, but indicated the bill would be closer to the Senate's plan for SNAP. The Senate's plan included incentives for states to expand work training programs and added new accountability measures to the program. It's more comprehensive and focuses on the program integrity, Roberts said. Republicans also dropped a rule change that would expedite forest thinning projects, which environmental groups said would be ineffective against fires. The Farm Bill will include a provision that makes it legal for farmers to grow and market industrial hemp, Roberts confirmed. We're not talking about cannabis, he said. Like many lawmakers, U.S. Representative Darren LaHood from Dunlap said he was hopeful but would wait for the final version before discussing specifics. A strong and vibrant agricultural community is essential to the success of Central and West Central Illinois, and I am encouraged that the progress made between the House and Senate thus far will lead to a strong farm bill for the years ahead, he said in a statement. Senators from both parties indicate the final bill would widely resemble the Senate version of the bill rather than the House version, which passed without a single Democratic vote. The Senate requires at least 60 votes to pass the bill, which means that 51 Republicans need Democratic support to pass it, unlike in the House, where Republicans currently have a majority. It is good news that we are getting closer, said Adam Nielsen, director of the National Legislation for the Bloomington-based IFB. Okay, so that's our updates on farm news, very important here locally, and then we'll go back to the front page and see what's next. Our last item on the front page is national news about President Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, who confessed in surprise plea deal Thursday that he had lied to Congress about the Moscow real estate deal he pursued on Trump's behalf during the heat of the 2016 Republican campaign. He said he lied to be consistent with Trump's political messaging. Cohen's plea agreement made clear that the prosecutors believe that Trump, who insisted repeatedly that the campaign that he had no business dealings with Russia, was continuing to pursue a Trump Tower. This would be a Trump Tower project in Moscow weeks after he had clinched the Republican nomination for president, and well after he and his associates had publicly acknowledged the negotiations about the building, the Moscow Tower continued as late as June of 2016, the same month Trump's oldest son met in Manhattan with Kremlin-connected lawyers. Even though Cohen told two congressional committees last year that the talks had ended 6 months earlier that January. Cohen also discussed the proposal that with Trump on multiple occasions and with unidentified members of the president's family, according to court papers filed by special counsel Robert Mueller, who is investigating Russian interference in the presidential election and possible coordination with the Trump campaign. Cohen is cooperating with Mueller and has met with his team at least seven times, prosecutors say. The Cohen case was filed in New York a week after Trump and his lawyers provided Mueller with responses to written questions, and is the first new charge filed by the special counselor since the appointment of Matthew Whitaker, who has spoken critically about the investigation as acting Attorney General with oversight of the probe. Whitaker was advised of the plea ahead of time, according to a person familiar with the investigation. Cohen is the first person charged by Mueller with lying to Congress, an indication the special counsel is prepared to treat that offense as seriously as lying to federal agents and warning shots to dozens of others who have appeared before Congress. There is no clear link in the court filings between Cohen's lies and Mueller's central question of whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia, and nothing said in court or in associated court filings addressed whether Trump or his aides had directed Cohen to mislead Congress. Even so, the case underscores how Trump's business entity, the Trump Organization, was negotiating business in Moscow at the same time when investigators say Russians were meddling on his behalf in the 2016 election, and that associates of the president were mining Russian connections during the race. Cohen's court appearance marked the last step in his evolution from trusted Trump concierge. He said Thursday he had lied out of loyalty to prime antagonists. It is the second time the lawyer's legal woes have entangled Trump, coming months after Cohen said the president directed him during his campaign to make hush money payments to two women who said they had sex with Trump. Trump, on Thursday, called Cohen a weak person who was lying to get a lighter sentence and repeatedly stressed that the real estate deal at issue was never secret and never executed. Mr. Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, said that Cohen was a proven liar and that Trump's business organization had voluntarily given Mueller the same documents cited in the guilty plea because there is nothing to hide. There would be nothing wrong if I did it too. If I did do it, Trump said of pursuing the project, I was running my businesses. While I was campaigning, there was a good chance that I wouldn't have won, in which case I would have gone back into the business, and why should I lose lots of opportunities? That concludes the front page news, and now we're on to the second page, and let's look at the Daily Digest, which suggests that help is being sought for Adopt-A-Family. Children's Home, an aid annual Adopt-A-Family program, is looking for a group of individuals who wish to, quote, adopt a family for Christmas by donating gifts, clothing, household supplies, or money for families receiving Children's Home and Aid services. A record number of families, totaling 570 parents and children, have been approved to receive assistance this year. For more information, visit www.childrenshomeandaid.org/adoptafamily. Email lcordero@childrenshomeaid.org or call 309-386-9656. And please do this by December the 7th. Okay. Today, as I said, was November 30th. Today in history, it is the 334th day of 2018. There are only 31 days left in the year. And on this date in 1874, British statesman Sir Winston Churchill was born in Blenheim Palace. Also on this date, in 1900, Oscar Wilde, the Irish writer, died in Paris at the age of 46. And in 1835, Samuel Longhorn Clemens, better known as Mark Twain, was born in Florida, Missouri. In 1939, the Winter War began as Soviet troops invaded Finland, and the conflict ended the following March with a Soviet victory. In 1960, the last DeSoto was built in by Chrysler, which had decided to retire the brand after 32 years. And in 1981, the United States and the Soviet Union opened negotiations in Geneva aimed at reducing nuclear weapons in Europe. Okay. So let's move on and let's get our flick fact in here. And the question for today is, being shown at the Werenberg Galaxy 14 theaters in Bloomington this weekend is the all-time holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life. The 1947 film stars Jimmy Stewart and was directed by the legendary Frank Capra and was first premiered in theaters 71 years ago. How did it fare here in Bloomington Normal? Can you guess? It's a wonderful movie. I don't know how many times, think about how many times you've seen it. And it first premiered 71 years ago. How did it go over? How does it go over with you now? And can you think about how it went over then? Well, the answer is, the word is awful. Oh my goodness. Not originally thought of as a Christmas movie, it premiered in Bloomington on March 23rd, 1947, and was such a flop it lasted only 7 days and was shown only 28 times. Oh my goodness. What a thought. And here it's lasted for 71 years, but I guess it's not as popular in March as it is here in the holiday times. So our final thought for this half hour is that the real problem is what to do with the problem solvers after the problems are solved. That's a good one. So have a wonderful day. And this is Nancy Pippen returning, and I will take a short break with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 30th, 2018, coming up soon. So please stay tuned.